This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and it's brought to you by Better Picks. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better at better.app. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. Also, get your Prop Points podcast wherever you're getting those pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. A massive program forthcoming. We've had a lot of winning weeks lately, especially. I think we've probably won, in terms of having winning weeks, I don't know, probably 70% of the time. Week 17, we got debacled. We'll break it down and we'll kind of explain away. I mean, we don't make excuses. A loss is a loss, but certainly we can analyze the process. We came very close, of course, per usual on a lot of these losses. So we'll break it all down. We will pop in with our top five lessons learned from the week. Obviously, we're running out of time. We'll focus on, you know, big picture, long term, and hopefully the playoffs. We'll talk with our guy, the grinder, Tom Brawley of fantasypoints.com, per usual. And we will have some official picks for Monday Night Football. Now, look, again, week 17 was an absolute disaster. If you play fantasy, in the last 2 weeks, really, I am a fantasy person. And if you played fantasy, you know, like, certainly there were a few massive performances, but overall, you know, the output these last 2 weeks has been absolutely god-awful, and we're suffering from it. However, coming off a horrific week, I am even Steven, though. This always happens to me. I'm just going to pop this out here. I have, like, a horrible week, and I'm like, well, you know, time to retire. And then I have like a big win. So I'm sniffing a big win this evening. So stay tuned to that. That will be your Monday night special. And it is quite special. Not special were our picks this past week, but let's break it down here. Cause you know, a bad record's bad, but we can explain away some of these picks here. Well, we do get the best bet of the day of the week, correct? Trevor Lawrence. So thank you, Trevor. Kind of barely did it. I did love Parker Washington. I believe I said on the show that I couldn't pick between Parker Washington and Brenton Strange, who both went over, or Jacoby Myers. So I'm like, all right, let me just do Lawrence. And that did work out. Now, Saquon Barkley. Oh, my goodness. Let's start there. Let's talk about process. Let's talk about, you know, what we were thinking. Well, the Eagles led the entire game. The Bills have had one of the worst run defenses in the NFL all year. It was a good schematic matchup, and Barkley at halftime was on pace to run for over 100 yards. I mean, what else can we do here? The offense literally died in the second half. What'd they get, 16 yards? I mean, you know, so there's one. There's one that, you know, you think you're holding the ball in the rain, horrible conditions, against one of the worst run defenses in football, and you've got the lead. You're shutting them out almost the whole game. You would think that would be an environment to get some volume and pop off a run, but no. But I think the worst one was the double whammy on these Colt guys. Tyler Warren, my guy, I keep trying to will it to happen, and it just keeps coming up just this much short. To my point, I thought it would be a Warren and Downs game. It was. They were their leading receivers, leading in targets and in catches and in yards, and both coming just a handful of yards shy. Very unfortunate. I did opine earlier, just before the kickoff, like, you know, maybe they commit to Taylor here. Jaguars have been a good run defense, but a little counterintuitive, but I could see them committing to Taylor, and they did. That's pretty much what happened. Phil only throws it 30 times. We get the McBride prop correct. Barely. That looked like it was going to lose. Unbelievable. Then we go to Zay Flowers. We did get the tutty correct. And, of course, Zay Flowers did have a good game. He was their leading receiver, as expected, led them in everything. Yardage, targets, catches. What happened was Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards and bogarted all the offense and scored four touchdowns. The Josh Downs loss. Ashton Jeanty, it's like, Really? Now, I was a little worried about it. I replaced it on the tailgate show. I was going to pop it out, and I was like, yeah, let me pivot over to Barkley. Both lost, but, you know, you literally have the best matchup on the planet in terms of the adjusted yards before contact and all that. The Giants have been one of the worst run defenses of the year, but the Raiders were just hapless. He did pop off a 24-yarder, and he did come relatively close, but no. But this one is probably the worst one. We got absolutely duped by everyone in terms of this matchup for the Dolphin tight ends, which I outlined it. I'm screaming into the microphone. This is what they've given up to tight ends in the last five games. And they continued to suck against tight ends. Unfortunately, it was Greg Dulcich. Unbelievable. Greg Dulcich and Hill combined for six grabs for 75 yards and a tutty. Meanwhile, Waller, the GEP was high. Goose egg potential. He caught one ball and he tied me with 0 yards. So we got completely duped on that one. That was all about the matchup, and it worked, just not for the guy we picked. Next up, Juwan Jennings, too many Juwans out there. Unbelievable yet again. Brock Purdy throws for over 300. But we thought Ricky Pearsall was kind of a gimpy Pearsall. Didn't expect him to ball out the way he did. We get 300 yards, Jennings scores, but we don't get the prop. He only gets 42 yards. We get T. Higgins, right? Another one, barely. And then Devontae Smith, they forgot how to throw a football, and they forgot how to run an offense in the second half. So it was pretty craptastic. But let's take a look at the lessons learned coming out of the week. The Patriots, oh my goodness, just incredible, just absolutely incredible. Yeah, it was the Jets, but they were perfect. You know, it was just, is this a professional football team? Basically, it was like, you know, 7-on-7 out there in shorts, no pressure, just doing whatever you want. Steph Diggs comes in big, obviously. Now, of course, we didn't get an opportunity to go in on Diggs because the news broke right when we were on the air. That's been a problem. We're on a little early, so that does preclude me from including some props. Had I known that they were going to rule out Mac Hollins and Kayshon Boutte, absolutely would have been on Diggs. I was in on Diggs the first matchup, but bottom line is Drake May is absolutely balling, and it's going to be fascinating to see how long this continues because they could take it all the way, even though the defense is certainly beatable, but they've got a lot of components here. A pretty good running game, explosiveness at running back now. They don't have much at receiver, but Drake May, his ball location has been absolutely absurd and obscene, quite frankly. Next up here, what else do we learn coming out of week number 17? Bengals enjoy the thrill of the chase. Chase Brown, unbelievable game by Chase Brown. I was very high on him this summer. I was very concerned. It looked dire, but thank God for Joe Burrow. I mean, he averages a ton in the passing attack with Joe Burrow, but he's also been, they made a couple tweaks to the running game. He's been awesome. And I don't want to jinx the man, but draft Chase Brown next year. I mean, this guy, and I've interviewed him in person, and I commented a million times, couldn't believe how jacked up he was. I mean, this guy is jacked up. And, you know, he moves pretty well. He doesn't move like a guy you would think is jacked up. But, again, knocking on wood, this desk here is technically there's some wood there. The guy never gets hurt. I mean, he's got incredible DNA. Has anyone ever worried about him even like being iffy for a game in 2 years? He also got 300 plus carries his final year in college as well. So shout out to Chase Brown, great player. Jags keep on winning, and it wasn't an unbelievable performance overall. Got to give credit to the Colts defense. They played very well. But, you know, I did like Trevor Lawrence in the game. He hit the over. He played pretty well, pretty darn well. He's very much in control. He's very poised, taking off and running when needed, plenty of weapons. It's really going. It's going incredibly well down there in Duval. And you even had a balanced game here, too, with ETN running the rock, getting the ball, Parker Washington. It's always tough when you have four very, very involved receivers, basically. I really liked Parker Washington, but I opted to go, and I did play it at fantasypoints.com, full disclosure, but I did opt go to Trevor Lawrence, and he got it done. So thank you, Trevor, but they keep on winning. Number four lesson, Jalen Hurts fantasy managers. I don't know where to go with this. You know, he is a mercurial cat, to say the least, leaving plays on the field on the regular. We did lose that Devontae Smith prop. He did have a pretty called back. But again, the offense completely dried up. People are absolutely miserable in Philadelphia. But look, they're still one of the best teams in the league. I hate to say it. The league is highly flawed, and they have fewer flaws than other teams. They certainly could, you know, flip a light switch in the playoffs and get hot. That's the frustrating thing. We've seen it here and there, what they can do. Can they just go in a two-minute drill from the beginning of the game? I think they'd probably be better. And then last but not least, Buc-ee's is running out of gas, and that is a reference to Buc-ee's. If you're from the South, you know what Buc-ee's is. It's a huge restaurant, gas station chain deal. But I'm referring to Buc-ee Irving, who has just completely run out of gas here. 2.1 yards per carry. I think, obviously, they greatly, greatly miss Liam Cohen in that running back room and in that O-line room. So Liam Cohen, quarterback whisperer, offensive line whisperer, running game whisperer, and the Bucs struggling a little bit without him. They still are alive in the playoffs. Baker threw for over 300, but of course, hard to trust any of the receivers or spreading that rock around, but Jalen Pumelin did have a really nice game. When we return, let's take a look at some prop points and data points for Monday Night Football here next on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Taking out sports, and it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast, and here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. And right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has action every day of the year, NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So there's always a line of the build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to pop in the promo code VSiN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it is time to prove it. And welcome back to this very, very dark edition of Prop Points here on a Monday as we just lost a light. But it's all good because it's all about the data and hopefully getting good props, which we have been doing on these nationally televised games. Let's start with our passing props. Matthew Stafford, 269.5. Opta AI comes in a little over at 284. Another good schematic matchup here for Stafford. They're all good. They use cover three and cover four 64% of the time to the Falcons, and Stafford averages a very strong 8.3 YPA with a 5.5 completion percentage over expectation. He does remain the favorite most likely for the MVP award, but just in case, maybe Sean McVay does a little stat padding to help his boy out. Kirky, Cousins, We do have trust issues there for sure due to the Rams' pass rush. He does not handle pressure well at all. 223.5. Opta comes in, though, at 248.6. Certainly helps that we're going to get Drake London back. I assume Drake London is okay to play. Obviously, they're not playing for anything, but he is a franchise type of player, so that's good. But and it's also a decent schematic matchup. Nothing great. LA allows the 11th most passing yards per game. They use cover three and cover two at a 51% clip. And Cousins averages a solid eight or seven YPA with a 1.7 completion percentage over expectation. But again, I think the pass rush, well, that's a concern. That's why I'm a little worried about Kirky in this one. I was going to take an interception prop, by the way, but it's a -160 for one pick, so we didn't go there. Poor odds. Receiving props, Puka Nacua, big number, massive, 106.5. Opta AI comes in at 117.9. Atlanta gives up the 13th most receiving yards per game, 10th most yards per route run to outside receivers. However, over the last 5 weeks, they have given up the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. It's worth 8.2 fantasy points, which could be 80 yards, could be a touchdown and 20 yards. But still, looking good here based on the production they're giving up on the outside. They also use cover three and cover four, like I said, 64% of the time. And Puka averages a gargantuan 4.80 yards per route run. Now, there is one other element that could slow him down just a little bit. Based on the alignment numbers, he will see a lot of AJ Terrell, who is a stud. Basically, he's probably the best corner in the league that no one really talks about because, well, he's on the Falcons. Drake London, 66.5. Opta AI comes in higher at 82. LA gives up the fourth most receiving yards, eighth most yards per reception to outside receivers, along with the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. London averages a massive 3.91 yards per route run and 0.37 targets per route run on 142 routes against cover three and cover two, which they use at a 51% clip. The knee is a little bit of a concern, but Opta AI comes in higher at 82. Kyle Pitts, how about this? 55.5. Opta AI comes in at 55. It is a workable schematic matchup, I would call it. Rams run cover three, cover two, 51% of the time. Pitts averages, like I said, workable, 1.80 yards per route run. But A.J. Barner did get him last week. We got that prop right. They still, though, give up the third fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to tight ends the last 5 weeks. It's a negative 4.8 fantasy points. So, spoiler alert, we're not in on a Kyle Pitts prop. I feel like, look, I'm a fantasy guy. Kyle Pitts has been one of the most frustrating fantasy guys to preview, predict, handicapped. I feel like whichever side I take is going to be wrong, quite frankly. So I'm not taking any of them. Bijan Robinson, 43.5. LA gives up the eighth most receiving yards per game to running backs. They are, what, 7.5-point home favorites. So you would think they'll be throwing from behind on the second half of the game. Colby Parkinson, 33.5. Opta AI comes in at 36.4. He did flop last week. He had only four targets, 2/21 receiving, 71% route share. Seems like that game, by the way, was played like 3 weeks ago against Seattle. But Atlanta uses cover three and cover four 64% of the time, and he averages a pretty weak 1.38 yards per route run on those coverages with a weak 0.17 target per route run number. So not the best schematic matchup there. It actually pops a little bit more, the schematic matchups, when we have our little formulas there at Fantasy Points Data for rookie Terrence Ferguson. Darnell Mooney, 24.5. Opta AI comes in at 41.5. He'll see a lot of Josh Wallace at corner, who is the least targeted DB, gives up 0.20 fantasy points per route run, which is the least among their their three corners. And, you know, it's been a nightmare season. I would like to go in on Mooney. I'm a Mooney guy here, but it's been a disaster. I can't go there. The aforementioned Terrence Ferguson, again, we do show this as a plus schematic matchup worth a 27% boost to his efficiency. Certainly, you know, using him over Parkinson is probably absurd. And of course, Davis Allen is there, along with Allen Davis. So they do have a lot of tight ends still in the mix. And then Konate Mumfield, 21.5. Opta AI comes in at 30.5. He will see a lot of CJ Henderson, who is targeted the most among their corners. And here's a little nugget. He plays left wide receiver. The Falcons have given up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lining up at left wide receiver. Last week, he caught 3 of 8 targets for 40 yards. He was second on the team in targets behind Puka Nacua. Spoiler alert, we are probably in on, we got something going on here. We got something cooking with Konate Mumfield. Is it Konate? I thought it was Konate. Anyway, Mumfield and Son, we call him. Next up, let's take a look here. Kyren Williams, it's a very low number, 11.5. Opta AI comes in at 14.8. The Falcons are giving up the second fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game, which is why this number is so low and why we're going to take a laissez-faire approach. Finally, running backs and running games in this matchup here to close out the season at Monday Night Football. Bijan Robinson, 73.5. Opta comes in lower at 65.3. Los Angeles gives up the 11th fewest adjusted yards before contact and the 7th fewest rushing yards per game. It's slightly below average in terms of the schedule adjusted fantasy points per game given up the last 5 weeks. However, LA has given up 5.17 yards per carry on zone concept runs the last 5 weeks. Bijan Robinson leads the NFL on those runs in that span, 360 rushing yards. I kind of think it'll be more of a Bijan on the ground game because we got Drake London back. So there's that. And then Kyren Williams at 63.5. The Falcons have allowed the 5th fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the last 5 weeks. They have not allowed a running back to top 8.6 fantasy points against them the last 3 weeks. Not great for Kyren Williams with Blake Corum breathing down his neck, but still, LA is a 7.5-point road favorite. So they should be in control, and we should have a chance to get some volume there. Tom Brawley, the Grinder, will join us on the other side. But first, start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. Get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. Everything soup to nuts, college football playoff betting guide. Start the new year off with an edge. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. And from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in Tom Brawley. He is senior writer over at the site on the X Machine at Tom Brawley. And we were just lamenting, Tom, how, boy, it's been a brutal month here for the props. But how you doing otherwise? Happy holidays.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Small winner with the props this past week, but the DeAndre Swift, I gave out DeAndre Swift over his rushing yards last night, came up a half a yard short. He looked great all game long, only got 9 carries because of how that game script played out. And we had people on our Fantasy Points Discord clamoring for rushing yards on that hook and ladder play with Colston Loveland at the end of the game. But Unfortunately, those counted as receiving yards. So that could have ended up being a much better week for me, but still a small winner, looking to play a couple. I got a couple plays tonight, hoping to end up a bigger winner here this week.
I know we do a live stream at fantasypoints.com before the Sunday games, and you and I specifically told a lot of people to start Loveland and Luther Burden. I know maybe not everyone, but it felt like we were telling everyone to start Luther Burden and also Loveland. Also, with Burden, I could make the prop pick because I didn't know if he was going to play or not. But how about this one real quick? I lost a Juwan Jennings prop. Are you kidding me? Ricky Pearsall, I thought he was Gimpy Pearsall out there, but he was spry running around like he was completely healthy. And Purdy throws for 300.
And Jake Tonjes is making plays out there. That was surprising. Unreal. And then Jennings finally gets an opportunity late in the game, and he makes a big play. Just thought we were going to see that a little bit more in that Sunday night game.
Well, Purdy is absolutely balling. The other good news is, speaking of Purdy, we did go. I had an article on the VSiN website in the first football betting guide, season long future props. 11-3 is where I'm at right now, I believe. But I had Purdy over 23.5 tutties. Boy, he came close. I mean, the guy got 20 touchdowns in 8 games. So that was unfortunate.
That's unbelievable.
But,
he was one of my most drafted players for fantasy, him and George Kittle. And just getting a little taste of this at the end of the season, it's like one of those what could have been if both of those guys had been on the field a little bit more for fantasy. Purdy could have been easily a top three, top five fantasy quarterback. But that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Oh, it is. It is. Well, let's get into what you're seeing tonight. I did consider your first one. You are in on Kyren Williams over 61.5. They have been stingier against the run. You do have Blake Corum, but on the other hand, the Rams are kind of rolling. And what are they, 7.5-point road favorites? So you would think volume.
Yeah, that's what I'm banking on here. And the last time we saw them without Davante Adams, way back on that Thursday night game against the Seahawks, lots of three tight end sets with Davis Allen, Terrence Ferguson, and Colby Parkinson out on the field. So great sets to run the ball out of. He's gotten to 70 or more yards in 7 of his last 8 games. Atlanta's given up the 10th most rushing yards per game. And I talk into our fantasy points data. The Falcons are giving up the 6th most yards per carry on man gap runs with a 58.5% success rate allowed. And that's what Kyren Williams really does well. 115 carries on man gap concepts, 62.6% success rate on those runs. So Kyren, the matchup kind of sets up well here. Davante Adams going to be out of the mix here again, going to have more, bigger bodies out in the field. So I think there's an opportunity for Kyren Williams to rack up some carries. And as you said, the point spread is also up north of a touchdown. So could be late in the game scenario where they're kind of running out the clock in the second half. So I think he can get to 15 carries in this game. And I think he can have some success against this Falcons run defense that has really struggled against the concepts that Williams has had a lot of success with.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. And the next one that you're in on, spoiler alert, I am as well. And a little scary, Drake London coming off the injury. But again, you try and think these things through. They're not going anywhere. They are expected, obviously, to make him active. It is in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Why were they playing him? They wouldn't play him unless he was, 80%, 85%, I would think, with this knee. He did play last week. It didn't look great, but the schematics looked phenomenal here. What do you see with London?
Yeah, that's what I'm banking on. Everything is, screaming to me that Drake London is a play this week, but last week did look a little rough. He looked like a guy that had missed 4 or 5 games because of a knee injury. But I'm hoping that was a game where he was able to knock off some of the rust, Gets another 8 days off between those games. Did get limited practices leading up to this week, which is was why I was mildly concerned here. But Raheem Morris spoke the other day and calmed my nerves a little bit. Just saying that he should be ready to go and he's going to play. So he was at a 70% route share last week. Maybe that goes up a little bit. And we were touching on it, the point spread here. It's going to be probably a pass heavy script for them. Could be trailing, trying to catch up to these Rams. But the schematics here, Rams are playing a lot of cover three and a lot of cover two, about 52% of the time on those coverages. And Drake London has just absolutely crushed those coverages. 3.92 yards per route run and a 37% target share on his routes run against those coverages. So he's been very effective and kind of the guy that they're targeting against those coverages. Now, a lot of that did come with Michael Penix earlier in the year. Hasn't had a ton of reps with Kirk Cousins, but we've seen him get peppered with targets in the past here when Cousins was in the lineup. So I think he can bounce back. And the Rams are the Rams, you can't really run the ball with a lot of success on them. You got to kind of attack them through the air. Rams are giving up the fourth most receiving yards per game to the outside receivers and the eighth highest yards per route run. So everything's kind of telling me that Drake London could bounce back here. I'm looking at these props all the time, John. He's routinely up in the low 70s, mid 70s. Now we're getting an 8 to 10 yard discount as well. He's down at 64 and a half. So they tempted me into this. Maybe, this could be one of those we're watching in the second quarter and he's just not moving right and it ends up falling flat. But if he's any better at all than what we saw last week, I think he's going to be heavily involved in the passing game and should go over this number.
Well, the Rams currently, last 5 weeks, giving up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to outside receivers, which bodes well for London. Coming in third are the Falcons. They give up the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to outside receivers. And the schematic matchup is even better for Puka. So any thoughts on 106.5? Sounds like a adult contemporary radio station. That's a big number, 106.5.
Yeah, I know a lot of his people will be tuning into that channel, these fantasy owners. A lot of people are saying some Hail Marys for another massive Puka Nacua performance. We got one against the Seahawks last week on Thursday Night Football. And it looks like everything's kind of lining up that he should be featured heavily again. The numbers look great for the coverages, and the Falcons defense has been kind of falling apart a little bit. So I did consider it, but at some point, that might be the highest number I've seen so far this year. Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't quite got to the mid 100s. It's a number I couldn't get to, just in case maybe they do get out to a big lead and they kind of just run the ball out, or there's different scenarios where they wouldn't be pressed to throw it a ton. So I ended up staying away from this, but I would not be betting a Puka Nacua under in this matchup. This screams that he's going to have a lot of action here tonight.
Well, last Monday night game of the year, last chance for you and I to be on the same page on a prop, which we've been doing well on lately. And spoiler alert, I'm in on Drake London on the receiving prop as well. But Tom, great stuff as always. Great year. Happy New Year to you. You will be joining us throughout the playoffs, though, because we can't do props without the grinders. So you'll be back. But good luck with all the plays.
All right. Thanks, John.
There he is, the grinder Tom Brawley. And when we return, we'll pop out my official picks in a Monday night special, final one of the year here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better. You pick more or less on your favorite player's stats, and if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required, and when you deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app or download Better today and use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I am John Hansen. Now, as I said at the top of the show, I'm a big pattern guy. I'm very superstitious in some ways, and I notice patterns. And my pattern in fantasy and any type of handicapping, look, I write an article that's every week on fantasypoints.com. It takes 40 hours. It's about 16,000 words, and I cover everything. I'm all over everything. I think, you know, my picks are always pretty darn good, but obviously football and life always, you know, gets in the way a little bit, and bad things happen, weather, weird stuff, odd-shaped football, all that. But in my career, when I have hit rock bottom, right before I'm like, you know what? Have a nice life, everybody. I retire. Something big happens. It almost invariably happens. So that is what I'm thinking this evening. I think we are going to close out the Monday Night Football schedule with a big winner for the special. But we'll get into the props, and we'll start with Bijan. I'm in on Bijan over 73.5. Again, I do believe that it'll be a little bit more Bijan-centric in terms of the running game because, you know, he had been a glorified receiver in some of their games when Drake London was out and or banged up. And then in that regard, you can kind of use Tyler Algier. But we have London. We have our full complement, really. We have London, Mooney, and Pitts. So I think they're going to use Bijan a little bit more in the running game because also it is a good schematic matchup. I know it's a little scary. OptAI came in under at 65.3. I know that they're 7.5-point home favorites and all that, but 73.5 is also a pretty good number. LA gives up the eighth most they give up the eighth most receiving yards per game, which we'll get to. We actually already got to that. But LA, here's what I wanted to say. LA has given up 5.17 yards per carry on zone runs over the last 5 weeks, as I mentioned earlier. Bijan leads the NFL on those runs, 360 yards. So it's a good schematic matchup here for Bijan Robinson. Next up, I'm going to double dip on Drake London to the grinder's point. You know, certainly feels like it's going to be a London day. They need him, obviously. So I'm going to go over 5.5 receptions. By the way, the odds are pretty good. We're used to these odds being really, really bad, but minus 118 is pretty damn good, which does scare you a little bit because the books are like, dude's catching 5 balls. But okay, we'll get to 6. I believe we'll get to 6 as a 7.5-point home underdog. But, you know, if we get to 6, it'll probably be 6, honestly. It'll probably be close. But I think the 6, we can get to 65.5. As we mentioned, LA gives up the fourth most receiving yards per game, eighth most yards per route run to outside receivers. They give up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. Plus 8.2, as we've mentioned. London averages a massive 3.92 yards per route run with an equally massive 0.37 targets per route run on 142 routes against cover 3. I know the knee is a little bit of a question, but that is a damn good schematic matchup, and things are lined up pretty well for them to throw a lot playing from behind in the second half. OptAI comes in at 82.03. Now, how about Konate Mumfield? I think we mispronounced it before, but it's our bad. I do know that it's Konate and not Kanata. So I should get some points for that. But Kanate Mumfield, we're going to go in over 22.5 receiving yards. He'll see a lot of C.J. Henderson, who is targeted the most among their corners. He plays left wide receiver. As we mentioned, the Rams have given up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up on the left. So he's kind of a shot play guy. He had 8 targets last week, 3 grabs for 40. Davante Adams calls him like his son. I say that about players often. I say I love him like a son, like Johnny Taylor. But no, Davante Adams actually calls him his son. And he does have some tools very similar to Davante Adams. He was drafted by the Rams this year in the 7th round, and he will start in the game opposite Puka Nacua, who will see a lot of A.J. Terrell as well. And then last but not least, it is a little scary going in on Terrence Ferguson over 22.5, but we did this last time out, and that did hit. He did score too. So we do show this as a plus schematic matchup for Terrence Ferguson. It is a slightly negative schematic matchup for Colby Parkinson, who averages a weak 1.38 yards per route run with just 0.17 targets per route run against cover 3 and cover 4. So it's not the greatest schematic matchup. Our data shows a nice little 27% boost to Ferguson's efficiency based on the schematics of the Falcons defense that he'll see on the other side. And here's some deep level research here on Terrence Ferguson. I think he can do this on one catch. We did this last time out. He didn't do it on one catch, but he did ultimately have a catch, I believe, long enough for the prop. But he's had 4 games with 3 or more targets on the season. And his yardage in those games has been 33, which was last time out, 32 in week 10, 54 in week 9, and 31 in week 8, with longs of 27, 32, 36, and 31 yards, which is why I do believe that Terrence Ferguson can get to over 22.5. This is it. Last Chance Saloon, last special of the year. It is a Monday night special. We will pop that out at the very end of the program, which is in like a minute. Stay tuned, though, to VSiN. After we sign off, it is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 p.m. Eastern. Now, I hope I have not cursed myself by stating that I am even Steven when I basically hit rock bottom, which I did this week. Week 17 was horrible. I often think, well, it's been a nice career. See everybody on the other side. And then I've had like this big winner that re-engages me and, you know, returns my hope for all of humanity. So with that said, I am going for the gusto today for a Monday night special. And here it is at plus 411. Kanate Mumfield. Mumfield and Son will go to 50 yards in this game. 50 or more yards. The payoff is plus 411. And I do have some other facts to bring up here, in addition to the fact that I'll see Henderson, who was targeted the most among their corners. The fact that he plays left corner, and the Rams have given up, or the Falcons have given up, the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game the last 5 weeks to wideouts lined up on the left side. He caught only 3 of 8 targets, but he got 8 targets last week, second on the team with 40 yards. One of the incompletions last week, by the way, deep ball down the sideline. He got into a contested catch situation. He almost grabbed it. The other play was a ball that Stafford threw a little short. He dove for it. It hit the ground. But he is their number 2 receiver. He played 46% of the snaps last week. And here's the kicker. Kanate Mumfield attended high school in Dacula, Georgia, 37 miles outside of Atlanta. So it's a little bit of a homecoming for the seventh rounder, Mumfield. So I think Sean McVay will definitely take a shot or two to Mumfield. And there it is, 50 or more yards at plus 411 for your final Monday night special, Kanate Mumfield. Let's go. Good luck with the plays. We'll catch you manana.